The definition of what it means to be a leader has changed dramatically over the course of the past 2 months. In times of crisis, we long for someone to guide us through uncertainty, someone who will help us feel secure and safe, who knows how to push forward, exceed limitations, and come out stronger on the other side. As the world has struggled to make sense of COVID-19, we have seen leadership from all areas of life step up to the plate. From local governments to frontline workers, chefs, school teachers, and more. Every leader has been faced with moments of crisis, ranging from brief bumps in the road to more sustained issues. But navigating the global pandemic we're currently living in has no playbook, no best practice, no modern-day precedent. I posed a few questions to Graphics founder Judy Kirpich and our current CEO Lance Wayne for their thoughts on what strong leadership means, as well as ideas that can help make an agency and a small business resilient during turbulent times. Take a listen, and we hope that you enjoy. Lance, as we get started, could you give us a little bit of background into your relationship with Judy?
Absolutely, and thanks so much for the tee up, Clara. So my relationship with Judy goes back, wow, it's been almost 20 years, and she has really been everything from a mentor to a friend, a sounding board, the occasional punching bag, and overall just a really, you know, important and key figure in my life. Now, when she first hired me to lead the agency's business development efforts, it was just prior to 9/11, and little did I know at that time that I would quickly be exposed to how best to run and manage a business during a crisis. And over the years, I really have had the opportunity to observe and learn from Judy what it takes to get through different business and economic cycles. And whether she knows it or not, or whether she'll acknowledge it or not, I don't know, maybe she will today, she really grew me, not just to take over for Graphic upon her retirement, but how to really make sure that you're prepared as a business and as a leader when you're confronted with challenges. And Judy, we certainly are confronted with some challenges right now.
Yes, I'm Judy Kirpich, and I started Graphic with another person back in 1978. And I guess I left, how long ago, Lance? Probably about 5 years ago, I retired, and still keep in contact with the firm. And I'm so thankful that I am not the CEO right now during a pandemic. I think about it often. You know, looking how Graphic has responded, I see a lot of really good lessons, you know, historical lessons on some of the ways that we used to manage crisis. It might not have been a pandemic, but, you know, Graphic was actually started in a recession. It was, you know, in 78, times were not very good. I was at the very beginning there, so I really wasn't privy to a lot of the decision-making. But, you know, we've been through a lot. We've been through the technical bubble bursting. We've been through 9/11. We've been through the Great Recession. You know, now there's the pandemic. And honestly, there's a lot of less notable downturns that have occurred over the last 40 years. And I think that I give credit really to the people who work at Graphic, because there's a different kind of mindset, not on how to operate a firm during a recession, but more importantly, how to operate a firm when things are going well.
Each decade in business has presented its own set of challenges for Graphic and our peers. In an industry notorious for chewing creative agencies up and spitting them out, Lance and Judy both agreed that it's the relationships between leadership, staff, and clients that have given Graphic its staying power.
Leadership right now is being tested on many different levels. And, you know, particularly in the agency space, which is often the most susceptible to economic downturns, you know, Judy and I have really been able to, over the last, really going on 2 decades right now, work collaboratively in terms of how best to ensure that Graphic continues to operate and succeed. And, you know, as we look at the last few downturns, you know, whether it be 9/11 or looking at the financial collapse of 2007, 2008, you know, there's a couple of important lessons that are learned. And I think this current situation is different on a few different levels. But what really jumps out at me, for starters, is going back to 9/11. You know, it was a period in time that had this profound sadness
and a sense of most people just not feeling safe because of so many of the unknowns that were occurring at the time. But what was interesting about Graphic and what was actually very comforting about Graphic is the camaraderie of the staff and the culture that was built up by Judy, you know, and the Graphic team over the years really helped us get through that emotional challenge that we all felt in a manner that I know many of our peers and competitors did not necessarily get through. And then as we start to think about, you know, what happened after that in 2008, 2009, and the collapse of the financial institutions, it was so challenging and so difficult because there was so very little that we could control. And, you know, when this collapse happened, that there was this feeling of how best to hang on and, you know, not being able to get a lot of guidance from others in the industry. It was just this somewhat feeling of despair because of the people, because of the relationships that we were able to build with our clients. It really helped us persevere through what for me was probably, you know, the most challenging business experience that I've ever had.
You know, if we're talking about that particular period of time, the Great Recession, I think one of the things that I was most, that I learned more than anything else is have a great relationship with your banker, which we did not. I was very proud, and this was a mistake, but I was very proud that for my, you know, the entire like tenure of my leadership, we didn't have debt. We didn't owe anything. We had a line of credit that, you know, we always had there. It was always a cushion. It was great to know it was there. And honestly, every year it was renewed automatically. And then all of a sudden you have the Great Recession. And our banker, who I thought would be, you know, like this would be, you know, just red stamped, no problem, comes and says, well, you know, you haven't borrowed money, so we're not going to lend you, we're not going to extend you a line of credit. I had no relationship because honestly, I didn't care about it. And I was, you know, I left that to others. And I think that was a huge mistake. I mean, we weathered the storm, but, and make sure that you have a landlord that you can work with.
No, I was saying, you know, 12 years later, you know, those lessons have served us well because we have formed the relationships with the bankers, and it has been invaluable in terms of, mm-hmm. you know, looking at the different programs that are available to small businesses now. It has been a very fluid conversation. They've been very proactive in terms of reaching out to us. So again, what we went through in 2008, 2009 has really set us up to stabilize the business as it pertains to moving forward because of the current crisis.
Graphic looks very different now than it did back in 1978. But some business philosophies have been passed down from one leader to the next and are still very much alive in the Graphic of today.
One of the things that we want to also talk about is, you know, what is it about, you know, these historical experiences, you know, that we've done differently as a business, you know, compared to some of our, you know, peers and or competitors. And Judy, I'm sure you're the first that will attest to this is, we've adapted as a company with each decade. It's almost like the Rolling Stones, but we've been very consistent in terms of how we run the business. And you said this to me from the moment you hired me, is we always need to operate like we're in a recession. That has really been a hallmark of how you ran this business, and it's how we're running the business right now. So when you look at the operations, again, always operate like you're in a recession. Always be kind to those that you work with, and most importantly, never, ever, ever settle. So as hard as things can get, ensure that you continue to push, you continue to differentiate, because that will help you get through these times.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that was notable about Graphic in the really early days is, look, you know, graphic designers, which is what I was called back then. Look, we cared about creativity, and most graphic designers ran very small shops, and they hated what I will call the business of design. And Graphic was successful because we focused not only on design, but also how to run a business. What does it mean to have payables and receivables? What does it mean to look at aging reports and work in progress? And what does it mean to not just have an accountant once a year, but somebody who's advising you on a monthly basis? What does it mean to keep track of your time? And more importantly, I mean, back then, most staff had no clue what they were being billed out at. and what a budget was. And in graphic, one of the most notable things is from the very, very, very beginning, we made all of our staff understand the importance of a budget. Okay, now that's not to say we didn't blow budgets. We blew budgets, you know, on our side continually, because that pursuit of excellence, unfortunately, you can't say you just have 5 hours. If it takes 10 hours to get something great, you put the 10 hours in. But we set up some systems so that, you know, if a budget was blown, it wasn't blown like catastrophically. And what we did, which I think was really important, is we taught everybody that you can be a great designer, but you better be a great business person. And I think one of the things that I'm pleased about is, you know, there have been other firms that, you know, have kind of designers who've left and moved or whatever and stopped, you know, started their own firms, and they know how to start a business. And that's because we trained them. And I think that aspect, you know, is so important. You cannot, I don't think you can shield your staff from the business side. And I think that we always operated the business with a lot of transparency, probably more transparency than most firms. But, you know, looking at, you have to look not just at the big picture, which I'm not as good as Lance. Lance is much better at this than I am, but also at the small parts of the business, you know, where money tends to kind of leak out. And I think that if you share that philosophy with your staff, I think it really builds a very strong foundation.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think the operative word there is share. And you were always a big proponent of sharing, whether it's personal feelings, personal stories, you know, what's top of mind. And yeah, we've continued that in terms of making sure that we are sharing as much information as we can in terms of the state of the business. And this is in good times as well as in challenging times, because part of the beauty of a small business is we all have the opportunity to have an impact in terms of our success. And you know, it is something that I think the staff has really embraced, is that transparency and is that opportunity to be in the know so that they can help make a difference in terms of how we are, you know, performing and moving forward as a company.
Economic downturns don't just impact the way a business is run internally. They also impact the relationship between agency and client. Studies have shown that in 1984, the average client-to-agency relationship tenure was 7 years. By 1997, 13 years later, that number declined by 25% to 5 years. And today, the average client-to-agency tenure is thought to be less than 3. Over our 40-year history, Graphic has learned a lot about how to continue growing and strengthening trusted client relationships in both the good times and the bad.
You can't burn bridges, and you can't like let pride guide your decision-making. So what does that have to do with a recession or tight times? Well, Graphic got through tight times because during a tight time, you take the business that comes in. And that often means dealing with some real assholes, people who understand that the power balance is changed. And it's very difficult when, you know, we like to be partners with our clients, and I think we're excellent partners. During a recession sometimes, or the ones that I had to go through, the power balance changes dramatically. And so you will have clients who understand that you need their work, and they're going to drive the price down, and they're going to be unreasonable, and they're going to be unpleasant. And we had, in every single one of these recessions, and I will not name names, we had one or two clients that I remember to this day who were particularly unpleasant to deal with. But you know what? You smile and you realize, even though you've just walked away with, you know, 20 Best of Design awards, you do their business card if that's what's needed, or you do their, you know, some job that you thought you'd never have to do again, you do, because you've got to keep that cash coming in. And that honestly, that is one of the things that is the hardest for me to deal with, because I like control. And you know, sometimes during a really tight time, you know, you don't have a whole lot of control. You know, these recessions were totally out of our control, as is the pandemic. You know, we have no way of knowing exactly when it's going to end and how, you know, how are the clients going to react? How are the staff going to, I mean, you just don't know.
You know, with our Judy, it's interesting you say this, because I agree with you. I recall that the dot-com bubble bursting. I recall the 2008, 2009 great, you know, recession. And when I look at it now, though, it is different. And in a way, I wish you could experience it, but I know you mm-hmm. would have nothing to do with this.
No, thank you.
I know you are.
These days.
But there's a level of professional courtesy which I didn't see in the last two downturns. And some of it is probably just a result of we're all trying to figure this out together. But there's also this sense of flexibility and not trying to take advantage of a situation. And, you know, examples are, you know, we've been fortunate that we continue to, you know, pitch new business. We've closed some deals, and the clients that, you know, we've been able to secure, the new clients, they've said to us, cash flow may be an issue for the next 4 to 6 weeks. You know, if it makes you feel better, we can start at a later date, or we can work on some type of promissory notes. We don't want to put you in an uncomfortable position. We want to be very transparent in terms of where we're at. And that is actually a relief, because Judy, I think to your point, that then you're not really losing control. It's a matter of working more closely with your clients and your prospects in terms of a business arrangement that works for all sides. So it has been very reassuring, at least over the first 6 or 7 weeks of this current situation, where I don't feel like we've, you know, we're losing control, and I don't feel like we actually have to go out there and chase, you know, the wrong types of business.
Hindsight is 20/20, but the reality of most challenging situations is that in the thick of the storm, mistakes are made despite the best of intentions, and lessons, unfortunately, have to be learned the hard way. I asked Judy and Lance to reflect on some of the common mistakes they think leaders often make during a crisis like this, and what we can learn from them.
Here's what I would say, and Judy, you may have a different opinion, but what I would say is, you know, I think strong leadership in a sudden crisis really requires one to respond and not just react. For me, reacting is often emotionally driven, and that can often have negative consequences on creative, on financial, on staffing. You know, for me, responding to the situation in a proactive manner that allows you to maintain that objectivity, I think is so critical, and that will really help set one up to properly weather a storm. And again, I've been on the flip side where in the past I have reacted more emotionally, but you learn from that, right? You learn from that. And, you know, sometimes as an emotionally driven person, as you know, I am, it is hard to suppress that. But I think that these experiences and for any small business, again, think about responding before you start to react. Again, you may have a different opinion on that.
No, I think that's what you aspire to. You know, it's not always, you know, it's not always doable. Right. Okay. But I think, I think that the other thing that which is the issue of response, I suppose, is it's keeping those lines of communication crystal clear, open. I mean, whether it's between mm-hmm. your clients or your vendors or your staff, you know, it is picking up the phone and saying, I may have mm-hmm. trouble paying this bill, but you will get it. And you know, Graphic has a stellar reputation, so that's helped us over the years. You know, we've never not paid our bills. You know, I think, look, it's always hard when something comes out of the blue. It doesn't have to be a huge, you know, it doesn't have to be a pandemic or, you know, a terrorist event or, you know, a recession. things happen in business all of the time. You know, a client goes belly up and the next thing you know, they're declaring bankruptcy and you're at $100,000. And when you are building a firm, that's a very difficult thing to bear. But I think that, you know, one of the reasons you bear it is because you've managed the firm all along. You know, I'm the person who was going out of business for 37 years. That is really true. For 37 years, I believed every month we were going out of business. And I managed the firm that way. And I probably drove my staff insane. Okay. I know probably Lance had a lot of sleepless nights because it's like, you know, where the hell's the business, Lance? Bring in the damn business. I don't
care. And this is after closing three or four deals in a month. So, yes. Yeah.
But that wasn't enough. Yeah. That wasn't enough. You know, it's never enough when you have, when you're sitting in that corner office and you're looking, you know, you're looking at books that are going into the red and you're not used to being in the red. And I think, you know, that's, you know, look and looking at the books, you know, it's funny. Looking at the books often is really important. And looking at it with a historical perspective is often important. And it's so different. You know, right now, I am not looking at any of my finances whatsoever at home. Not graphic. I'm not looking at graphic finances either. But, you know, I with the market the way it is, I'm not looking at it. I'm closing my eyes. I'm thinking, okay, you know, in a couple years, I'll look at it again. And I just refuse to drive myself nuts. Well, when you have a business, you don't have that luxury. Okay. You have to look at the red ink and you have to look at the downturn, also knowing that there will be an upturn. So sometimes it's painful, you know, because it does makes your stomach hurt. There's nothing easy about getting through a tough time, you know, and, but you have to just remember that it okay times will come back. You know, you just have to weather that
storm. One of the valuable lessons you always taught me is, yes, look at the numbers, but don't let them paralyze you. And as you can appreciate, Judy, we've got more numbers at our disposal now than we ever have. And I think, you know, what's most important is really understanding trends versus just looking at, you know, where you stand on a day in and day out basis. I think that has really allowed us as a business to continue down the path of not overthinking or overanalyzing any particular week or month, but making sure that, you know, you are following trends. And I think that the historicals actually do come into play there, just so you can see in different climates and different cycles, because history does often repeat itself. I know that sounds cliche, but it's so very true. And I think that allows us to not get too excited when things are going well, and also not get too down when you have these challenges.
In a situation that seems to be changing by the hour, it can be tempting to get caught up in the immediate details. And as Lance said, react instead of respond. As a leader, what's the right balance of short-term versus long-term planning? When should we be thinking about the now versus 4 or 5 years down the road?
Here's my take. And again, you may have approached this a little differently, but I truly believe it's a balance. Because if we do use the current situation as an example, the first few weeks, my attention was really focused on the stabilization of the business. And there was a stabilization with a couple key drivers. Number one, obviously finances. You always need to make sure you've got the finances in check, make sure that the cash flow is still there. And to your point, we still do not, you know, subscribe to debt financing. That's not how we operate. So finances is number one. Frequent communication, as you were alluding to, and in this situation, as you know, Judy, because we talk often, is I over-communicate with the staff. I think that's actually really important right now, especially while we're all apart, to know, so people know what is, you know, top of mind and how are we doing. So I don't want silence to be deafening in that regard. So finances, frequent communication. Mm-hmm. We are ensuring that we could still support our existing client load, which I think is important. And as you referenced, you know, being able to reach out to your clients and letting them know where you stand and what we need to do moving forward to ensure that we can support them, while also nurturing our pipeline. Because you can never forget about, you know, what's down the road. And, you know, as I look at that, finding that right balance, there was the, you know, there's the situation of, yes, let's make sure there's stabilization. But as I just mentioned to the staff, I'm doing video diaries for the staff. And I just mentioned to them in a video last week that I'm of the mindset right now of we have to have a kind of a let's go mentality. Let's start to think about what are the next steps? Where do we continue to move towards as an agency? And, you know, for me, though, it's not 4 or 5 years, because I think that's an eternity. What I'm focusing on right now is what does the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months look like? Because there's still a lot of uncertainties and unknowns. Mm-hmm. And if I plan too far ahead, I feel like I'm being really short-sighted in terms of making sure that we're able to address any immediate challenges. So my mindset right now is really focused, you know, on getting through the rest of 2020 and then continue to evolve and start to think about, you know, the future from there. I don't know if you have a different perspective.
No, I think that's absolutely right. You know, and as you well know, I have often been asked by people, you know, what my 5-year plan is. And I answer, I have no idea. You know, I don't do 5-year plans. I will say that one of the things that has helped me currently is, and it's a podcast, and every business owner should be listening to it. And it's, you know, it's on NPR. It's How I Built This. And the reason it is so valuable as a podcast is, you know, and it profiles basically, you know, owners who have built all kinds of businesses, small, large, you know, behemoths. And every single situation, there has been a huge crisis. Okay, every single one. You know, there's almost no business that has just gone straight to the top without some type of horrible thing happening. And when you hear these stories and you look at the firms that they've built, well, you know, one thing that's consistent is you marshal your reserves and you push forward. You don't give up. And, you know, I think that I guess it's grit. That's the, you know, perfect word, you know, for it right now is you can't just, you know, tear your hair out and say, oh my God, woe is me. Because you know what? You'll be out of business in a second. You have to realize that if you can get through a period like this, I have no doubt about that. If you can get through a period like this, man, the picking is pretty ripe, because there's so many people that go out of business because they have no idea what to do. And if you get to the other side of it, okay, you're going to come out a lot stronger than you ever thought.
Who has really impressed you in the current crisis?
In the current crisis? Oh, God. Well, not Donald Trump. How's that?
I was waiting for you to throw something in there.
I mean, right now, I feel that there are... Oh, God, there's so many companies and corporations that are so disingenuous that I want to vomit. You know, it's like, okay, you know, who does it well? Well, you know, I'll tell you, I had an experience this morning, you know, that maybe was an example of who does it well, and that's Trader Joe's. They kept to their brand, I will tell you. So there's a greeter at the door who is in your front of your face disinfecting every single cart, who is as pleasant can be. You walk in, everything, you know, there are rules. They're very clear, but they tell you those rules with a little bit of tongue in cheek. And if you don't, you know, you're not allowed to bring your own bags in. Well, you know, so all these years we've been trained to bring our own bags. Now we can't bring them in. But they have accommodations for those of us who bring our bags in and didn't realize. And then, you know, there's little signs all over that, you know, kind of tell you, you can only get one of these or you can only get one of these. But it's done in a very friendly, low-key way. And the stores are, you know, I'll tell you, I never got through a line so quickly in my life. There was no line because they're monitoring how many people come in. And so, yeah, it was a pain in the ass to have to wait for 20 minutes. But once I got in, it was a piece of cake. And I used them because every checker, every person stocking, the vegetables and the produce, all this kind of stuff, they were all, you know, they're Trader Joe employees. So they were all very hip and very friendly, and they were not disingenuous. Okay. I mean, I think that too many of the corporations right now are so disingenuous. You know, I got a letter from the CEO at American Airlines. It was the worst letter I ever saw because, you know, I think that they, you know, they say they care about people, but they're laying off their staff. They're not paying for benefits, all kinds of stuff. With Trader Joe's, you know what? They're going to get through this, and they're going to get people who will continue to shop there because I really felt like they cared about me. They cared that, you know, I could get in and out and making, you know, and they made it safe and still, you know, an enjoyable, you know, thing. So I guess that would be one that I'd think of as you know, kind of a corporation that's doing it the right way.
I will not try to bring politics into this, but I do believe that a leader that has been very true to who he is and very genuine is actually the governor of Maryland. I think Hogan has done a stellar job in terms of being ahead of the game. He has never settled. And he really, more importantly, he wasn't fazed by opinions or partisan politics and really, you know, focusing on his constituents, focusing on the people that he represents.
I agree.
I think he has done a hell of a job. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican or independent, I don't know anybody that can argue with what he has meant to the state of Maryland and not succumbing to everything else that's going on out there in the market. So I've been very impressed with his leadership style, very impressed.
As other small businesses and agencies navigate the current situation and uncertainty around us, for many, this is the first pronounced period of hardship they're experiencing after years of growth and success. I asked Judy and Lance to share any parting wisdom they have for other CEOs based on their own shared experience.
Well, it's what I keep saying. Always manage your business like it's a recession.
Yep.
Okay, you're going to get out of it, but then, you know, don't start spending lavish money and, you know, big fancy party. I mean, just, you know, I guess I would say manage your business like it's always a recession and make sure that your business relationships are solid. And that's between your bank, your clients, your broker, real estate broker.
Yeah. And what I would say is, and I learned this from one of the leadership groups that I'm part of, is, you know, the advice I really have to offer is don't wait for clarity to make a decision. Because by the time the clarity happens, it will probably be too late. So part of our job in a leadership role is we have to take some risks. We have to use, again, knowledge and learning and lessons learned to help inform how best to move a business forward. And, you know, while things are hazy and a little cloudy right now, we are forced to make certain decisions. And that's just part of being in this role. So, again, don't wait for clarity to make a decision is my advice.
As developments of COVID-19 continue to surface, we urge you all to stay safe and to stay at home. There will be more updates to come, so please follow along on our site, graphic.agency, or follow us on social media @graphicagency. I'm Clara Shannon, and you're listening to Studio G.